Good morning, all. It's great to see you here, especially the youth right down in front of us. So thanks for coming and joining the service today. I hope you're having a good time. My name is Pelanese Alofa. I live in a small Pacific island called Caribas. The highest elevation of our land is only 10 feet tall, only 10 feet above sea level. My people are being badly hurt by the climate crisis that we did little to create. Our coasts are eroding, we're short of fresh water, and seawater floods damage our communities. We're scared that we might have to leave our homelands. But we don't want to do that. Instead, we want to adapt and stay. We have funding to protect public property, but we need help with our individual homes. So in order to help out, I became the director of Live and Learn Environmental Education in Kiribati. We partner with UUSC to learn what people need to protect their land and their homes. Then we provide them with things such as water tanks, we help them build seawalls on their property, and we help advise them to stand up for their rights, make their voices heard. UUSC helps lift up community experiences to improve our government response. And UUSC helps connect us with other communities who are also facing climate impacts so we can work together and support each other. With UUSC's help, I am spreading the Live and Learn project to reach more of our islands. We have added health programs, waste management, and we're learning how to plant mangrove trees to manage sea level rising around us. With your help, we can continue to do the good work. So thanks so very much for having me here at Guest at Your Table today.
My name is Marta Velasquez. Since I was 20 years old, I have been leading women in Honduras to know their rights and empower themselves. Now I lead an all-volunteer feminist group that works with other similar groups in my country. We have formed a network called Forum of Women for Life. Our goal is to eradicate gender violence, which is prevalent in Honduras. Violence against women is one of the main causes of migration from Honduras to the United States. Forum of Women for Life is the only organization that is doing this kind of work to support women. What do? We provide legal and humanitarian services for victims of violence. We train volunteers to provide this support and to prevent further abuses. Lately, there has been a change in government which has increased violence in Honduras. UUSC is supporting our groups to increase their safety so that they can continue to do their work. It gives me hope to support other women to take stronger roles, seeking strategies of resistance and bringing equality of rights. With your help through UUSC, we can make further progress toward better lives for women. Thank you for having me as a guest at your table.
I am Wei Wei Nu, and I live in Burma, now called Myanmar. When I was 18 years old, my family was put in prison for 7 years, even though we had committed no crime. While in prison, I noticed that many others were unjustly held, and that especially women did not have legal support and felt hopeless. From this experience, I determined to become a lawyer and help correct this inequity. But when I got out of prison, violence against my ethnic group erupted. I'm a Rohingya and practice the religion of Islam. The majority of the country is Buddhist. We have always suffered discrimination because the law recognizes only some ethnic groups as full citizens, some as partial citizens, and in the case of the Rohingya, no citizenship status at all. The government supports the system with propaganda, increasing the fear and violence related to men. So I formed the Women Peace Network, which provides women with training on law, peace building, education, and organizing our civic groups in our communities. With the help of UUSC, we are building connections among leaders and youth across different religious and ethnic backgrounds. With time, we will bring the face of Rohingya women positively to the public, and people will see that the enemy is not the Rohingya. So thank you for having me as a guest at your table.
I am your fourth guest at the table. My name is Monica Cura. When I was 5 years old, my family came to the United States as a refugee from Romania. My family was persecuted under the communist regime there. I learned that refugees lost a lot of their grounding, but they always have their stories, and these can be expressed in many healing ways. So I founded and now direct Activate Labs. We bring art, music, and storytelling into spaces migrants pass through on their way from Central America, food kitchens, shelters, transit points, and border walls. We bring the materials and offer open-ended projects so that migrants can find ways to share their stories with others. Participating in these activities builds bridges to healing. For example, UUSC has helped us with a video project where Salvadoran migrants can document their experiences moving to the United States border, being held for more than 6 months in detention. The video will be screened around the United States to increase understanding of the refugee experience and advise future asylum seekers. Thank you for being a guest.
I'm going to read an excerpt from the sermon that I gave this morning, Leading with Love and Liberation. What does it mean to lead with love while centering liberation? Dr. Cornel West, scholar and public intellectual, often says that justice is what love looks like in public. If we can work toward and create a more just and equitable world, we will be demonstrating how love manifests itself for all. Now, when I'm talking about love in this context today, I don't mean the flowery words of greeting cards or shallow platitudes of niceness. When I invoke love in this case, I am talking about what the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King referred to as agape. To quote Dr. King, agape means understanding, redeeming goodwill for all people. It is an overflowing love which is purely spontaneous, unmotivated, groundless, and creative. It is not set in motion by any quality or function of its object. Agape is disinterested love. It is a love in which the individual seeks not their own good, but the good of their neighbor. Agape does not begin by discriminating between worthy and unworthy people or any qualities those people possess. It begins by loving others for their sake. It is entirely neighbor-regarding concern for others, end quote. To be clear, Dr. King in this context was preaching nonviolence, influenced heavily by Mahatma Gandhi and the Unitarian Henry David Thoreau. He had hoped to inspire African Americans and their allies in the fight for justice and freedom to hold on to nonviolent protests as a way to dismantle the oppressive systems in place. I invoke the spirit of agape love here in the hopes of offering a framework for how we affirm each other in our speech and how we can center liberation through our language and ultimately our actions. I want to share a story of my own learning process about how powerful turning to love when centering liberation can be. In 2016, General Assembly, the annual gathering of the Unitarian Universalists from across the globe, was held in Columbus, Ohio. During the service of the living tradition, the service that celebrates religious professionals entering ministry, ordained clergy, religious educators, and musicians are celebrated and included. That year was especially memorable, not only because former president of the UUA, the Reverend Dr. Bill Singford, was preaching, but because of an awareness that was lifted during his sermon. A few of the fellowshipped clergy sat on the stage behind him and held up signs saying, "Ouch," in capital letters every time ableist language was referenced. When the word stand was said, the signs were lifted. If the word see or hear was said, the signs were lifted. The organizer of this awareness campaign was the Reverend Teresa Inez Soto, whose reading I just read before this. Now, Reverend Soto now is one of my dearest friends, but at the time we had only met socially, and I found myself wondering why they would be so offended by metaphors. Sure, Reverend Soto has had accessibility issues since they were born. I knew they were a teacher and an attorney. Surely metaphors were something that can be allowed in a religious setting. I found myself wanting to defend the use of metaphors and to explain to those holding the signs that we can't just give up on beautiful language. Thankfully, before I engaged in any of these discussions, I returned home to Seattle and started reading the ways that ableist language excludes so many. I started to ask myself, what is it that I'm holding on to by arguing and fighting to continue to say what I want? Considering that being informed of what I want excludes others and is painful. I then thought about sayings that I no longer use because of their origins. For example, I no longer use the expression rule of thumb because it harkens back to an old English law that allowed a woman to be beaten by her husband as long as the stick was no bigger than his thumb, hence the rule of thumb. Once I learned that history, it was pretty easy never to use that phrase again. So if I learn that my continued use of the word stand meant to affirm was hurtful and exclusionary, then why hold on? I started to realize that one of the ways I want to show up in the world as a person of faith is to listen and respond in ways that are loving. I found that love rooted in liberation in this case was to learn to minimize ways of using ableist language. For example, the UU musician and songwriter Jason Shelton changed the title and the lyrics of the song, Standing on the Side of Love, to Answering the Call of Love, which frankly I like even better. We are moved to answer the call of love rooted in liberation for all. Another way to answer the call of love rooted in liberation is by using the pronouns a person asks you to. Don't argue about singular or plural, and for the record, Webster's Dictionary has now recognized that they is singular. And fun fact, the word they was the word of the year in 2019. So we do not have any reason not to show respect and love by listening and responding to what is asked of us. Studies indicate that using a trans or non-binary person's correct pronoun and name lowers the rate significantly of suicide and depression. You are engaging in love speech when you listen and affirm rather than argue about correct grammar. I'm going to guess at this point that there's at least one person in this sanctuary thinking that I'm only talking about politically correct speech. I want to name that I find the whole notion of PC speech as nonsense and the term is absurd. There's nothing correct about our politics. Our politics are not the place to look for inspiration or ways to treat each other. What we are talking about is our humanity and the humanity of all those around us who are naming pain. We do not have to endure chipping away at our humanity. We can affirm and prioritize the humanity of others, especially those who hold target identities. Descendants of enslaved Africans, indigenous people, the two groups of people who have been most impacted by the founding of this nation. We always have the choice to remain engaged and informed in ways that help us to form coalitions and move in solidarity with those who are working to dismantle oppressive systems. We always have the choice to choose love rooted in liberation. I'm going to end with the words by an artist in San Francisco from a book called Endangered Species, Enduring Values, an anthology of San Francisco area writers and artists of color. This is from the artist Sandra Bass. Quote, "Now is the time to unleash our collective imaginations to till the soil, nourish the seeds of change with our aspirations, and bolster fledgling shoots promising new possibilities with ageless wisdom, compassion, and courage. Not because we're certain that our labors will bear a harvest, but because we know that it is only through daily acts of loving and serving with and for each other that we live into our boundless, sacred humanity. Constant gardeners we must be, ever preparing the earth for full and abundant life. Amen, Ashe, and blessed be.